A reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again he sent other slaves, saying, "Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet." But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. And the king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, "The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet." And those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. It's easy to forget, as we hear this well-known parable of Jesus, that it is based on two people, one of whom is not even mentioned. The fact is that two people are getting married. The bridegroom is mentioned in passing, the bride not at all. Today, if there's a wedding, the couple are the focus of attention. Yet in this story, the focus is quite different. Let's hold in the back of our minds that unnamed couple as we consider just what is going on. Now today, a wedding conjures up images of love and romance, of a young couple making a personal commitment to each other, to the joy of a new beginning. Maybe we think of it as sacrament. In Jesus' day, it wasn't like that. Marriage was usually for very practical reasons, linking families, securing property rights. The young people were instruments in a wider community-based strategy to protect the families. That's why it is so important in today's story that the king's community be there to witness the occasion. Naturally, the king's guest list would consist of the people for whom family and land and wealth were important considerations. And the wedding is the opportunity to bring the community together, a time for solidarity and togetherness. And what happens? The community treats the king with disdain and indifference. And notice that it's not the couple being married who are distressed, it's the king. Perhaps you can think of an occasion when you have been part of a gathering of family or community, maybe for Thanksgiving Day in America, or the Chinese Spring Festival, or Christmas. Perhaps you have taken responsibility for inviting and preparing and arranging. How important it would be to have everyone together. And then imagine that everyone invited, just everyone, just doesn't come. How will you feel? And what effect will that have on the sense of family or community? It would be pretty destructive of some really important values, wouldn't it? And Jesus emphasizes that destructiveness by having the invited guests murder the messengers sent to bring them. So, what to do? Cancel the wedding? What will that do to the social contract? What effect on the concern of the king to hold the nation together, to ensure good governance and commonwealth? Well, we know the answer. It's an extraordinary one. For the king, this wedding is so important. His plan for his nation is so fundamental that he creates a new community of the poor and the marginalized, the good and the bad. And the wedding goes ahead. And his generosity and celebration of community just happens. But wait a minute. Jesus starts this story by saying it's an image of the kingdom of heaven. So who are these people and what is this wedding? Well, I guess it's not too hard to recognize the king as a God-like figure who wants to bring unity and security and harmony to his people in a celebration of joy. But what about the son getting married? Well, it's the king's son, so I guess we might guess it's about Jesus, whose wedding will renew the covenant of peace and justice. And all those marginalized people, the ones who would normally be the last ones to be invited to a king's celebration, the hodgepodge of good and bad, plain and ugly, struggling to survive in a poverty of body and soul. Probably not too difficult to recognize ourselves there. And the bride, not even mentioned in the story, but the wedding wouldn't happen if she weren't there. Partner of the king's son, co-parent of a new generation of people in the kingdom, source of loving nurture, drawing through her beauty and goodness all people, even the poor and the marginalized, the good and the bad, to a life of peace and justice. Part of the king's plan for the future. Who can this be?